Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 21. Today on the show, we'll be speaking with Ariel Holcomb. She's a fantastic photographer with lots of talent. She's going to share some of her best tips for how we can learn to be better photographers too. You will also learn how she started her business in multiple locations since she is a military spouse. And stay with us until the very end when Ariel shares with us how her business income contributes in an extremely meaningful way to her growing family. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the show, we are so excited to welcome Ariel Holcomb. Ariel is a professional photographer, and her interest in photography started when her husband bought her first camera. What started out as a hobby has turned into a job that Ariel can do while she's also at home with her beautiful son, Finn. Ariel specializes in newborn and baby photography. She takes incredible photos of families as well, it's military homecomings, and she's added weddings to her repertoire as well. Ariel's main focus in her photography is light. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Ariel. And I should also mention that Ariel is a good friend of mine, and she's a fellow military spouse. So we are super excited to chat with you today and also hear about how you've grown your business as a military spouse.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Ariel. Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and your business, and maybe a little bit more about how you got started in photography?
Oh, sure. Let's see, my family. I am married to Matt. We've been married for 10 years this August, so that's pretty exciting. We're best friends, and we have one little boy, Finn, and he is definitely one of my most photographed subjects by far. And I guess the way I got started in photography, I've always been interested in it. I remember, even as a little girl, I remember seeing this, it sounds kind of silly, but I saw this beautiful bird and I wanted to take a picture of it, but I didn't have a camera. And I, anyway, so that was in my mind from that time on. I thought I would be a National Geographic photographer or something. That never really happened, obviously. I went to college, became a teacher, met my husband in college. We got married and he joined the Marine Corps. And I tried to continue teaching as we moved around from place to place. And I think I ended up teaching in, I taught for 5 years in 4 different states. And so the career moves were really difficult. And so I just kind of started thinking, okay, this isn't working. It was really stressful for me. And then in turn, it was making it stressful for my husband with his job is just really demanding. And I started trying to think about something that I could do to bring in a little bit of extra income that wouldn't require me to work full time. So I don't know if when my husband bought me my camera, if I was actually thinking about turning it into a business, but it all happened pretty quickly. I just got really interested in it and started reading and researching, and then people started liking my photographs and commenting to me about them, and somebody eventually asked me to take their photos, and one thing led to another, and pretty soon I started charging just a small amount of money for a session, and it just grew from there. So here we are. Long answer to your question.
I think that's great. I love your story. And I love the fact that as a photographer, you are always honing your skills. And I've seen that since I've had the privilege to watch you for a few years now as a photographer. And you're always improving. And I love the fact that you started out just grabbing your friends' kids and just kind of taking photos for free to practice. And of course, everyone was happy to do it. And then you became so talented that, of course, you had to charge money for your work. I was wondering, though, along those lines, since you are self-taught for the most part, although I know you have learned from some other great photographers, but do you have any tips for moms who maybe photography is not their business focus, but as a mom in business, pretty much we all need to have some photography skills. Do you have any tips for how the everyday mom could improve her photography?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm a reader, so I read my manual. I would advise anyone to do that, especially if you've got an SLR camera, and try to teach yourself with that manual to shoot in manual mode. Just learn what each of the settings do and how they work together. And that's a long process, but if you just get out and practice, it eventually just comes. And I also read several books by Scott Kelby. He's a great author, and he explains everything in a very simple, concise way, which is what I need. And yeah, his stuff's just great, and it really helped me understand the basics of photography and light. And I'm also a member of I'm in these Facebook groups, several different Facebook groups that are really inspiring, where let's see, should I list a few of those? Would that be helpful?
Sure, definitely.
Okay. Well, my favorite one is called The Dark Room, and it's I think there are 4 or 5,000 members, and there's a weekly theme, and you see different photos from all kinds of different photographers, with each coming from their unique perspective, and it's just, it's incredibly inspiring, and you see something that someone else does, and maybe you don't want to copy it exactly, but it kind of pushes you outside of your box. And they also, in their weekly themes, there's a contest, and so I've entered the contests a few times. I've never actually won, but I'm hoping to someday. But it's just a way to kind of broaden your horizons when it comes to it, especially after you get that basic knowledge. Then I would just say, expose yourself to different things to keep you feeling inspired and wanting to shoot for something else.
I think it's so interesting that you mentioned just reading the manual. I'm sure that's...
It's interesting, right?
Well, I think it's so true. It must be. The camera is designed to do so many different and unique things. It has so many features, but if you don't read the manual, how would you know about that? So I think that's a really fun tip.
It's not like riding a bike. I mean, it's not just going to click one day. I mean, you have to actually, read it, practice it. It takes a little while. So
I guess all good things do take some practice and some time to learn that skill. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about focusing on light in your photography. Mm-hmm. And I know from my very amateur photography, even with the business, trying to capture, a shot of one of our terrariums, or even with my kids, that can be a really tricky thing to get right. And I don't understand why that's tricky to get right, or if there's tends to be, a best time to get the right light. Is there any advice you could give for people who are, doing photography, for their blog or for their products, that might be able to help them with that?
Yeah, I can definitely offer some advice as far as that. Although my advice is going to be more geared toward using natural light. I don't use very much artificial light in any of my photographs, unless I'm doing them in studio, which that's still kind of a new project for me, so I won't have as much to say about that. But as far as natural light, the best time of day to shoot anything, whether it be people or products or just whatever, landscapes, anything, you name it, about an hour and a half to 2 hours after sunrise and before sunset. The light is really soft and warm, and it's just beautiful. Light's something that I've always noticed and appreciated, and that may sound kind of strange, but I mean, my husband could tell you that driving down the road, I'm like, oh my gosh, look at that patch of light. And he's like, you're crazy. And, but I just see it, and I saw it, and I recognized its beauty, and it took me a long time to know what to do with it. Another thing I remember, when I started doing backlit photos where I actually had the sun or the light source, whatever it was, behind my subject, that was a big moment for me, because it just seems like you would want to have the light shining in the face. But once I realized how beautiful things were with that light coming in from behind, I feel like my photos really changed from there. So, yeah, I guess just don't be afraid to backlight your subjects and kind of move at different angles. And also, a lot of photographers, and when I was first starting out, I would only shoot during those times that I mentioned, right, after sunrise and before sunset. But, I mean, now that I've kind of figured it out a little bit more, you can shoot anything in natural light if it's in the shade in the middle of the day. That's fine. As long as you've got good shade and it's nice and bright, you should be able to do, yeah, whatever you need. Oh, and one other tip that I found kind of useful. If you wear a white shirt, then you're basically like a giant reflector for whatever you're shooting. So, what you know, you're going to be bouncing a little bit of light, especially if you're shooting a backlit subject. Your shirt will just be reflecting light into their face, and so it just brightens things up a little bit. It's a pretty awesome little trick.
That's really neat. So actually, you as the photographer wearing the white shirt helps your subjects to look better in their photos.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And then, you know, I have taken a reflector along a couple of times, but usually I just wear the white shirt if I remember.
That's really neat. Those are many great tips that I know every mom could take and use to hone her skills at photography for sure.
Okay, well, I hope so.
So, Ariel, I know you've moved around quite a lot as a military spouse, and even since you started your photography business, you've had to move that a few times. Do you have any tips for how you've been able to grow your business and grow your customer base despite having to move to different locations?
Yeah, I would say that if you are fortunate enough to know anyone in the area which you're going to be moving to, which, you know, as a Marine Corps spouse, we usually have the benefit of knowing someone where we're going. Just getting in touch with them and, you know, just trying to form relationships there, not necessarily to advertise your photography, but just to form good friendships and connections there, and maybe, you know, find out if they know of anybody that needs photos or anything. Another thing that I did when we moved here to our most recent duty station is I looked around at local photographers, and I actually I made a call to one of a really, really great local photographer here in Beaufort, and I wanted to just get to know him and possibly have him do, you know, mentor me on a few things. And he ended up asking me to assist him on some sessions. And so anyway, it's basically formed a really good working relationship between the two of us. And I've learned a lot from him. And he's also gotten me connected with other people in the community. So I would say if you're moving to a new area, you know, definitely get in touch with other photographers. Try to find your local photo club. I'm involved in the photography club of Beaufort. Met some other great people there. So just get out and get involved in other, you know, with other people that are interested in photography as well, and you'll end up making some connections that way.
That sounds like good advice. It seems like personal relationships and connections can be so important in many different businesses for growth.
Yeah, and especially with photography, because you're really not, I mean, I'm not. I know some photographers are trying to, you know, appeal to a nationwide base. I'm really just trying to do local photography. But with local businesses, I think that you just really have to get out and get local, basically.
That makes sense. So with Finn being pretty young and photography being a business that, you know, you have to sometimes go to a different location or it's very hands-on. How do you juggle, you know, having a photography session, but then having Finn as well? And then I'm sure there's lots of editing on the back end. So how do you fit all of that in as being a mom as well?
Well, I have several really good babysitters that help me out. Finn, I have one day a week and sometimes two, if I need it, that I take Finn to a little in-home daycare where he gets to play and has a great time and it's educational and everything. And so I have that one morning every week set aside that I do all of my business work. And I have about 4 hours where I just hit it hard. And I mean, I just don't get up and I work and I do my editing and, you know, the communication and whatever I need to do, ordering things and whatnot. And when I have sessions, I have a sitter. Like I said, I have several on call, and they're great to work with. And so I just make it work that way. When my husband's around, he stays with Finn. But yeah, I mean, so far it really hasn't been too difficult. The homecomings, the military homecomings, are a little bit challenging because you don't really know when they're going to be. And I haven't ever had to take Finn to a session yet, and I hope that doesn't happen because it would be kind of difficult. So
the homecomings can be difficult too when you're in the pouring rain trying to take photos.
That's very true.
As was the case for one particular spouse's homecoming.
But so worth it. I mean, photos in the pouring rain. And you know what? Since that session, Beth Ann and I have purchased a special rain sleeve for my camera and my lens. So I'm ready for the next one, and I don't have to order someone around with an umbrella over my head.
That's great. You still managed to capture amazing photos. I'll have to put some examples up on the blog for everyone to see so they can see your talent.
Well, you guys were easy subjects. Y'all were gorgeous, and you were just so happy.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. Military homecoming, that's definitely a lot of fun.
Can't beat that. Yeah, you can't beat that.
So, Ariel, do you have an online tool or an app that you use that really helps you in your business, either helps you to stay organized or just helps you to create the perfect photos or whatever the case is?
I'm not very organized, so no. No. Yeah, I'm constantly trying to become more organized. But the online tool that I use the most is Facebook. It's really good for local business. When you put those photos up and people tag themselves or you tag people, then their friends see it and so on and so on. And I get so many after I put up a session, you know, that a lot of people see and a lot of people like and appear interested in, I almost always get inquiries from people that know them. And so that's been a really useful thing.
In addition to Facebook, do you use any photo editing tools? Well, I'm sure you do use photo editing tools.
No, it's all straight out of camera.
That would be amazing.
Well, she is pretty amazing. Yeah. So.
No, not that amazing.
But maybe what photo editing tools do you like the most? And then maybe what are some photo editing tools that us non-professionals can use easily and affordably for, you know, bloggers or people with product photography, things like that?
Uh-huh. Well, I use Photoshop CS5, and I also use Lightroom. And Lightroom is more for organization. I bring the photos in and I sort through them and decide which ones I want to work with, and then I export them and pull them into Photoshop and do I do some basic editing in Lightroom, and then if the photos need any more specific editing or if I want to apply actions, I do that in Photoshop. So I definitely do a combination of both of those, and I kind of take them back and forth as I need to. Lightroom has made my work much faster and easier. It's a great organization tool once you learn to figure it out. And the way I learned those programs, because I know at first glance they seem pretty daunting. I remember thinking, I'm never going to figure this out. And I still don't understand all of Photoshop, but I understand a lot of it. But the most useful, I mean, if someone does want to try to learn Photoshop and Lightroom, the most useful resources that I found, again, were Scott Kelby's books. And, I mean, just having, like, a hardcover book there that is a resource, and, I mean, it's just super useful. So that was helpful. And then as far as things other than Photoshop that, I mean, I don't really do any kind of editing in any program other than Photoshop or Lightroom. I love Instagram. I use Instagram a lot, but not for any of my professional stuff. However, I've been reading on different blogs lately and on different photography forums that a lot of photographers are starting to use their iPhones and use Instagram. And there's even, you all may have heard of the term iPhoneography. People are really getting great, great, great photos just with their iPhones. And I really want to learn more about it, more, I don't know, just how to be more proficient with my iPhone. And so I think that if people are willing to explore that avenue, that, you know, a lot can be done with just, you know, just a phone and Instagram or maybe some similar apps like that.
Great advice. You make it seem like anyone could learn this, which hopefully is the case, but I look at your talent and think, oh boy, I don't know. But that was definitely great advice for anyone who's wanting to get started and learn how to be more skilled in their photography. So, Ariel, do you have a favorite business book? I know you've mentioned Scott Kelby's books for photography advice, or perhaps just a favorite quote that really motivates you?
You know, I don't have a favorite business book because I haven't really read many books on business. I don't like to read books about business. I'm definitely your starving artist type when it comes to that. And I can't really think of a quote either, but I do remember something that the photographer that I work with here in town, something that he told me, because I'm always bouncing ideas off of him to see what he thinks. And, you know, one day I was asking him, like, well, what do you think if I, you know, did a drawing for a free session to, you know, try to drum up more business? And he said, well, he said, I wouldn't offer anything for free. He said, not anything. I wouldn't offer your product for free. You can do giveaways with gift cards of, you know, different things like that, or maybe offer a discounted rate. But he said that when you offer your service for free, it just makes it seem like it doesn't have value. And it may sound kind of stingy at first, but you always want to put the impression out there that your product does have value, and you're, you know, you're willing to give a good deal on it, but you don't want to just give it away because it is valuable. And coming from someone who have definitely given my stuff away, but it's because I want to. So does that answer your question? I kind of rambled on that one.
No, I think that was great advice. We actually were just touching on this with the recent podcast in terms of, in terms of pricing your product and the psychology behind giving your products a higher price tag and like you said, not giving them away for free. And I think that his advice was spot on, that you don't want to devalue your work and what you're doing.
Related to the pricing of your services, how did you come up with your pricing model? I could imagine that as a photographer, it could be difficult to determine exactly what to charge for your time and for your skill level. So how did you arrive at your pricing structure?
Well, I'm not sure that I have completely arrived, because I feel like it changes, not often, but it kind of changes with my skill level. And I feel like my skill level has just, you know, been increasing for the last several years, although I feel like I've kind of leveled off and I feel like I've stayed at a pretty consistent level. But I guess the first thing that I did was I kind of compared myself to other photographers, other local photographers especially, just to kind of gauge what they were charging. And, you know, you can look at, you know, there are great photographers and then there are other photographers that are not so great. And usually the ones that are not so great don't charge as much, and the ones that are really great charge a whole lot. And so I would try to kind of figure out where I was in that realm and just price accordingly. And I think with pricing, you don't have to put your prices out there. Like, as a photographer and as a one-person business, you kind of have the freedom to change your prices based on each individual session. If someone wants, you know, something more specific that includes more travel, more locations, more photos, or whatever, I mean, you can kind of come up with an individual pricing number for each session. I don't have set prices for mine. I do kind of evaluate each one. Now, I have, you know, newborn sessions are usually X number of dollars, and I usually charge a little bit more for them because they take longer, they require more editing, and so you kind of figure out which photos are going to require the most of your time and charge more for those. And another thing that was really helpful for me was to think about how much I'm charging per image. And, you know, Is that a good deal? Is it too good of a deal, or am I ripping people off? I mean, I certainly don't want to overcharge, but on the same token, I don't want to undercharge. So that's something that I feel like is always changing a little bit here and there, and it just kind of has to evolve as you do.
I don't think I'd ever thought of the price per image that results. I mean, you think about paying for a copy of your photograph, but I assume you're talking more, you know, the number of images that you work on and edit and give them digitally or whatever.
Right.
Is that what you're referring to in the cost per image that you...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly it. And in that cost, you know, you have to factor in the time spent scouting the location, driving to the location, shooting the photographs, editing the photographs. You've got to factor in the cost of the media that you're providing the client the photographs on, and you know, the time that it takes you to drive to the post office. I mean, you think about how much time goes into each image when you really break it all down. And I don't have a specific number, but I kind of have a ballpark figure of what I want to be paid and how that breaks down. So you just have to think about all of those factors and think, you know, how much am I putting into this, and am I really getting paid what it's worth? And I mean, it's worth a lot because it is a lot of work, you know?
Yeah, that's very interesting. It is. That sounds, when you started listing off all the different things that went into that and the time, I hadn't thought about half of those. So you're right. That is a lot of work.
But if you're going to look at it from the business perspective, I mean, time is money. That was another thing that the photographer that I've been working with has really helped me to understand, is every moment that I'm putting into these photographs is time that, I mean, if I'm going to have a business, that I need to be compensated for. And so it's been hard for me to look at it like that, because I'm, like I said, I'm kind of your starving artist type, and I just want to spend all day taking photos and editing. But, you know, sometimes you just have to look at it realistically.
Well, Ariel, I feel like you've shared loads of great advice for any business mom out there, whether she's just looking to improve her photography skills or whether she's a photographer herself. You've given some great advice on pricing and valuing yourself. To end our interview, do you have a funny or cute mom moment that's happened recently with Finn?
You know, I was thinking about this question and I got completely stumped on it. I mean, he makes me laugh a million times a day, but I'm sitting here thinking, and I couldn't come up with one funny moment. But I did think about the most memorable moment that I've had with him. And it was, Finn is adopted, as you know, and I just will never forget the moment that that we found out that he was ours. I mean, I remember everything about that moment, and then I remember the next day we drove to the hospital and I got to see him for the first time. And believe me, I took millions of photographs, like ridiculous. They were so sick of me in that NICU with my camera because I was all over that kid. And so I have it all documented really well, and it's very precious to me. But just those were, I mean, some of the moments with him that you just can't top.
I love it. I never get sick of hearing you tell the story of Finn, too. It's just beautiful. And
well, thanks. I wish I could think of something funny. I mean, he does funny things. Oh, here's something funny. It's not any particular moment because it happens over and over and over and over again. Every time we go grocery shopping or go to Target or anywhere where he's in a shopping cart, he will say hi to everyone really loudly, and it's super cute. He's like, hi, and then he gets lots of attention, and then he'll act shy. But anyway, it ends up taking us like 3 hours to get through any grocery store because he's chatting all the people up, and it's really cute, and it is funny.
It sounds like he might be a little ladies man when he gets older.
He is definitely. He scares me. He's a cutie.
Thank you so much for talking with us today, Ariel. And Ariel took a lot of the photos on our Amateur Naturalist Etsy shop, and all the cute pictures with the little kids, Ariel took those photos, and they are fabulous. And we've tried ourselves to replicate some of her amazing photography ourselves, and we cannot even come close.
No, not even close.
She is really talented. Aww, so take a look at that. But Ariel, how can people find you if they are in your area and they're interested in your work as a photographer? Mm-hmm. What is all your contact information?
Okay, well, if people want to get in touch with me, they can do it in one of two ways. I have a website. It's www.arielholcombphotography.com, and it's really it's just a pro photo blog, and it's specifically for displaying professional photography. And so I post a lot of my, or pretty much all of my work there, along with some personal stuff. I put a lot of photos of Finn because, like I said, I'm always taking photos of him, and he's a great subject for me to practice on. And I also include some details about our adoption. There's information there about Finn's adoption if anyone wants to read that. I tried to document it as well as I could, and just the things that we went through and everything that happened with that. And we're actually just getting started with our second adoption. We are just beginning to raise money for the home study and for the different fees associated with adoption. It can be pretty pricey. And now that we're in this, I guess, stage of the game, I am taking everything that I earned from my photography and putting it straight into our adoption fund, minus a few business expenses. And I do take babysitting out of my earnings, so because that can really add up. But other than that, everything is going toward our second adoption. And as soon as we reach a certain number, then we are going to move forward with the home study. And so it's really awesome to be able to contribute into, you know, to my family with a skill that God has given me, and just putting that skill to work to bring the next child into our home. Let's see. So there's my website, and just like I am here in my blog, I'm a little wordy. I like to talk and I like to write. So there's lots of information there. And then I also do a lot of business stuff on my Facebook page, my business page, and it's just Ariel Holcomb Photography. If you just search for that on Facebook, I post sneak peeks up there. I try to get those done a day or two after I've done a session. In fact, I should have another one coming up tonight. And I communicate a lot on both of those forums. So those are really the best ways to get in touch with me.
Great. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking with you tonight, Ariel.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yes, thank you so much, Ariel, for taking the time to chat with us today. We've learned many new tips that we can take with us in our business, and I know our listeners will as well. And I just love the way your business is contributing to your family in such a meaningful way. And I'm so excited to hear all about number two, coming home and joining your family.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really blessed to be able to have this business and to be able to use it for this. It's an amazing blessing. So
I hope you got a lot of useful information out of that interview, just like I did. Ariel definitely makes me want to go pick up my camera and start practicing and become a better photographer myself. Head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/21 for the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode. Make sure to come find our Brilliant Business Moms group on Facebook. It is becoming quite a fun community of women entrepreneurs trying to help each other and support each other. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.